6. People have religious experiences.
For what it is worth, nothing in my opinion. At the end of a ding-dong Bayesian race in which God surges ahead in the betting, then drops way back, then claws his way up to the 50% mark from which he started, he finally ends up enjoying, in Unwin's estimation, a 67% likelihood of existing. Unwin then decides that his Bayesian verdict of 67% isn't high enough, so he takes the bizarre step of boosting it to 95% by an emergency injection of faith. It sounds like a joke, but that really is how he proceeds. I wish I could say how he justifies it, but there really is nothing to say. I have met this kind of absurdity elsewhere when I've challenged religious but otherwise intelligent scientists to justify their belief, given their admission that there is no evidence. I admit that there's no evidence. There's a reason why it's called faith. This last sentence uttered with almost truculent conviction and no hint of apology or defensiveness. Surprisingly, Unwin's list of 6 statements does not include the argument from design, nor any of Aquinas's 5 proofs, nor any of the various ontological arguments. He has no truck with them. They don't contribute even a minor fillip to his numerical estimate of God's likelihood. He discusses them, and as a good statistician, dismisses them as empty. I think this is to his credit, although his reason for discounting the design argument is different from mine. But the arguments that he does admit through his Bayesian door are, it seems to me, just as weak. That is only to say that the subjective likelihood weightings I would give to them are different from his, and who cares about subjective judgments anyway? He thinks the fact that we have a sense of right and wrong counts strongly in God's favour, whereas I don't see that it should really shift him in either direction from his initial prior expectation. Chapters 6 and 7 will show that there is no good case to be made for our possession of a sense of right and wrong having any clear connection with the existence of a supernatural deity. As in the case of our ability to appreciate a Beethoven quartet, our sense of goodness, though not necessarily our inducement to follow it, would be the way it is with a god and without a god. On the other hand, Unwin thinks the existence of evil, especially in natural catastrophes such as earthquakes and tsunamis, counts strongly against the likelihood that God exists. Here, Unwin's judgment departs from mine. I still think it has no bearing on the matter, but goes along with many uncomfortable theologians. Theodicy, the vindication of divine providence in the face of the existence of evil, keeps theologians awake at night. The authoritative Oxford Companion to Philosophy gives the problem of evil as the most powerful objection to traditional theism. But it is an argument only against the existence of a good God. Goodness is no part of the definition of the God hypothesis, merely a desirable add-on.
Admittedly, people of a theological bent are often chronically incapable of distinguishing what is true from what they'd like to be true. But for a more sophisticated believer in some kind of supernatural intelligence, it is childishly easy to overcome the problem of evil. Simply postulate a nasty God, such as the one who stalks every page of the Old Testament. Or if you don't like that, invent a separate evil God, call him Satan, and blame his cosmic battle against the good God for the evil in the world. Or, a more sophisticated solution, postulate a God with grander things to do than fuss about human distress. Or a God who is not indifferent to suffering, but regards it as the price that has to be paid for free will in an orderly, lawful cosmos. Theologians can be found buying into all these rationalizations.
For these reasons, if I were redoing Unwin's Bayesian exercise, neither the problem of evil nor moral considerations in general would shift me far one way or the other from the null hypothesis, Unwin's 50%. But I don't want to argue the point because, in any case, I can't get excited about personal opinions, whether Unwin's or mine. There is a much more powerful argument which does not depend upon subjective judgment, and it is the argument from improbability. It really does transport us dramatically away from 50% agnosticism, far towards the extreme of theism, in the view of many theists, far towards the extreme of atheism, in my view. I have alluded to it several times already. The whole argument turns on the familiar question, who made God, which most thinking people discover for themselves. A designer God cannot be used to explain organized complexity, because any god capable of designing anything would have to be complex enough to demand the same kind of explanation in his own right. God presents an infinite regress from which he cannot help us to escape. This argument, as I shall show in the next chapter, demonstrates that God, though not technically disprovable, is very, very improbable indeed.